you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 36.
For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Matthew 25, 35, and 36.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, finally Friday, November 8th, 2024. Joining me at the Cadillacs and Guitars studio in Mahomet, Jim Gunther at the soundboard in a room of friends, as Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet will facilitate our discussion looking at Matthew chapter 25. And you might say, but I thought you were in Colossians. But then I thought you were in Nehemiah. Yeah, those are all parts of the Bible we've been studying. But today, Jason has it on his heart to talk about Matthew 25. And I think Brian from Jesus is Away Prison Ministry, we're hoping he was going to be here because he has his banquet coming up real soon, but he couldn't make it today. So we're praying up Brian and his family. They lost their dog recently. And I know they have their banquet coming up in a week or so. And so we appreciate the work that Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry is doing. But today, Matthew chapter 25, Jason, huh?
Yeah. So the question I have for everybody in the room here today is, what are you stewarding? Now, stewarding is a word we use in church, in church circles a lot. And that just means, how are you handling the things that you have? What are you doing with the things that you have? What are you stewarding? Does anybody have any ideas, any thoughts?
Well, everyone thinks of money.
Yep, money, okay.
Time.
Time, what else?
Well, I'm trying to keep up with the Bible study.
Okay.
Studying the Bible.
Anybody else?
Trying to maintain the house and the yard.
Trying to maintain the house and the yard, yep. Anyone else? How about relationships? Did we ever think about that, how we're maintaining and holding relationships and what we're doing with those things? Now, the reason I ask you, what are you stewarding, is because I think that's a question we should ask ourselves. And the reason that we should ask ourselves that question is this, that I think that every blessing that we have, everything that we have comes from the Lord. Does anybody want to argue with me?
No.
Okay, good, because you probably lose once we open the Bible.
We won't take a vote on it.
We won't take a vote on it, no. But the Lord, I think, has entrusted us with everything. And so then, therefore, then don't we need to take everything and use it for his glory? We need to ask ourselves how we're taking everything that he has given us, all the things that we have, and what we're doing with them. Are we using them for our own glory? Are we using them for our own desires and means? Or are we using them for his glory? Are we actually thinking about him when we're engaging with all these different things, in our relationships, when we're taking care of our house, with our money, with our even our Bible study, with any of that? It is possible to study the Bible because you just want to build yourself up rather than to grow in what it means to know who the Lord is. And so I think that we need to ask ourselves this question about stewardship, because we want to be faithful, I think, in everything and to be faithful with everything. And the only way that we're ever going to do that is if we understand that every single thing that we have is a gift that we have received from the Lord. Now, we may have worked hard within those things, but those opportunities and those things that we have, we wouldn't have them without the Lord. I mean, do we give thanks to the Lord for our house? Now, we're going to work hard to maintain that. But the only reason that we get to work hard to maintain that and do that is because the Lord has given it to us.
And Jason, shouldn't there be something also along the lines of how our attitude is? Because I was thinking of the Pharisees. Well, I gave a tenth of my mint or dill or just the smallest thing, but they weren't giving it from a generous heart. They were kind of giving it so they could brag about it or show off about it.
Well, I think they wanted to hold on to it for themselves, right? They wanted to build themselves up. They loved prayer because they got to stand on the corner with their long phylacteries and their long prayers and look good in front of the people.
Yes.
They didn't see prayer as a way to glorify God and to build up the people. They saw prayer as a way that they could look better than everybody else. And I think that we got to be careful with that. I think the stewardship question is really interesting because it makes us take account of what God has given us. And by the way, if we do that properly, it's everything. And then what are we doing with the things that God has given us? Are we using them for our own selves to build our own selves up? Or are we using them to make known and to build up the name of God, who God is? And so I think that it's really important. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss any of the things that are in the everything. Do you? I mean, I really want to take account of all the different things that I have so that I can give thanks to the Lord for all the things that I have. And so that I can be actively engaged in bringing him glory through those things. To the best of my ability, I think we're all going to have problems. We're all going to bob and weave a little bit. But I would rather be trying than failing. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen, amen, and amen. By the way, the Bible says that every good thing comes from where?
Above.
Yeah. And so often I think we fail to understand that God has given us all these things. And then he calls us to come with our talents so that we can actively work within those things. Could somebody read for me Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30? We're going to talk about this stewardship around the parable of the talents. But if somebody would read that for us from God's word, verses 14 through 30 in Matthew chapter 25.
Again, it was like a man going on a journey who called his servant and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I know that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well, then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
So this parable is all about stewardship. It's all about what we've been talking about. And just so that we have a couple of spoiler alerts, the first one is the master or the man is God. And so he comes and he gives these servants different talents. He gives them, by the way, when we talk about talents, most of us don't really understand what that means. It was a denomination of money or currency back then. In fact, most of us can't wrap our head around the amount of money that's being talked about here. In modern terms, it's about $1 million. It is a lot of money here. And the early listeners would have known this was a substantial amount of money. And so God comes and he gives 5 to 1 and 2 to another and 1 to the other. And the point of the story is this: 2 were faithful and 1 was not. And this text says that after a while, the master or the man, God, comes back to settle accounts with them. And this is interesting because it tells us something about how these people lived in light of the gifts that God has given them, right?
Okay.
What did they do with the 5? What did they do with the 2? And what did they do with the 1 in this time as they awaited for the master, the man, they waited for God to come back? I heard it said by somebody recently. They said, live as though Jesus is coming back today, but plan as though he's not coming back for 100 years. So always be prepared to receive him, but also always be working as though he might not come back for a while. And I think the 2 of these servants actually believed and lived with that thought in mind. They thought, our master could come back at any minute, but until he does come back, we're going to take the things that he has given us and we're going to actively be working with them. We're going to actively be investing in them. We're going to actively be stewarding them well. And so he comes back to collecting the debts. And what happens? The first servant who received 5 talents, he brings 5 more. He was actively stewarding and investing that money. The one who received 2 talents brought 2 more. And the master had the same exact message for both of those people, didn't he? He said, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy, or as Elmer read, happiness of your master. Mm-hmm. See, the key to understanding this parable that Jesus is teaching is not that it's about an employer or an employee relationship that's kind of cold, hard, and just focused on the bottom line. I gave you this much and you brought me 5 more. This is about the joy in the relationship between the servant and the master. The joy that comes from the fact that God has given you something to steward and to steer. The joy that God has entrusted you with this thing. Which means that on some level, he trusts you, right?
Yes.
That he's given you this thing. I think about my kids because my kids are like, he gave them to me. Like, you know, when my son turned 19 and graduated, I thought, I can't believe he did that. Like, I can't even grow a plant. I don't know if you should have given me, you know, him, but I did. So I think that we want to focus on the talents here, the money, and not focus on or miss the well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share in the master's joy. Come and share in the joy of what it means to steward well what God has given you. And God says, listen, I've given you some, I'm going to give you more. Which means I'm going to give you more what? Joy. Don't focus on the money. Focus on what comes from that relationship. When God says, I'm going to set you over much, he says, I'm going to give you much joy. More joy than you can even understand. And this speaks, I think, to the kind of the intimacy between the master and the servant. The servant, I don't think, at some point goes, it's not about the money. It's about the joy I get in serving God. It's about the joy I get in my relationship with God. It's the joy I get when I take what God has given me and I know that I'm really not that good at much.
That's right.
But he's going to empower me to do more than I can ask or imagine with the things that he's given to me. Sometimes I think we focus on this parable on the wrong thing. We focus on the money and we don't focus on the relationship and the generosity of God. Okay, so we have 2 servants who, well done, good and faithful servant, share in the master's joy. Yes, and you're going to have even more joy because I'm going to set you over much. Yes, much joy. And then we have 1 servant who did nothing with what the Lord gave him. And what's really interesting about this guy is it's not just that he didn't do anything with what the Lord gave him, because again, we could focus on the wrong thing, right? If we focus on the money, then we'll focus on the fact that he did nothing with what the Lord has given him. Instead, let's focus on why he did nothing. He did nothing because he said, you're a hard man. You reap where you don't sow. You gather where there's no seed is scattered. I was afraid. Of what? Of you. I don't know about you, but when I read this, this is not a description of who God is it?
Right.
This man had created a warped view of who God was and then acted out of that warped view of who God was. He was afraid of God. He thought God was a hard man. By the way, I've been in some fundamentalist circles where they talk about God just like this. Oh. Where they say God is just like that. He's always angry at you and you better do good. You know, it's the scoreboard is up there and you're always losing. But that's not how God is if you read the Bible. See, it's not that this man didn't invest the money. It's that this man had such a bad view of who God was that it made him afraid to do anything with what God had given him because he was so afraid that he would be punished if he made a mistake. Golly, I don't know about you, but this man needs to read Ephesians, God being rich in mercy, yes. The great love in which he loved us.
You know, I was just going to say the difference there is the man with the one talent was thinking about himself.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two men were thinking about what they could do with what was given them.
Yeah. Well, when you have a bad view of God, that usually comes because you're thinking about yourself instead of God.
That's right.
You build a view of God based on what you think and what you feel rather than on who God really is. J.C. Ryle wrote in a book that I was reading, he wrote this, "To hide our talent is to neglect opportunities to glorify God when we have them. The Bible despiser, the prayer neglecter, the Sabbath breaker, the unbelieving, the sensual, the earthly minded, the trifler, the thoughtless, the pleasure seeker, the money lover, the covetous and self-indulgent, all are alike because they bury the Lord's money in the ground, but worse, they bury the truth of who God is in the ground and worship a false God." He created a God that wasn't like God. He created a God who was harsh and who was mean and who you were afraid of. The exact opposite of the God that the first two people encountered, right? The first two people encountered a God who wanted intimacy and joy as they stewarded what God gave them. This man had a different view of God. And I think if he had a right view of God, he actually would have been faithful in what God had given him. I wrote down in my notes here, I said a wrong view of God always leads to a wrong walk with God.
Yes.
And so this guy, the worst part about this parable for me is this guy missed the joy and intimacy of what it meant to steward what God had given him, to take that thing and see it multiply, not for his glory, but for the glory of God. Because every time when those things were multiplying, I have to think the first two sermons were like, praise God. I don't know why that thing, but now we have 6 talents. Now we have 7. Now we have 8 talents. I can't believe it. Praise God. Because only God is the one, brings the increase, right?
Amen.
Right. I liked in verse 16 where it says, the man who had received the 5 talents went at once. And so mm-hmm. you were talking about it. He was very intentional. He got to it right away. He went at once. So he was motivated.
Yeah, exactly. And so, what are you stewarding? And how are you stewarding it? Are you stewarding it towards intimacy and joy with God? Or are you stewarding it in such a way that you're just fearful God's going to get you if you do something wrong? Because one of them, you're worshiping the God of the universe, and the other one, you're worshiping a God that you've created, a God who is not the God of the Bible, not the God who sent his son Jesus into the world to seek and to save the lost. Now, what does this have to do with the verse that we read at the beginning, verses 35 and 36? Well, it's interesting because then Jesus comes and he talks about when he returns, which is really also what the parable is that we just read. And he says in 35, for when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was a stranger, you welcomed me. Where? Into your home. When I was naked, you gave me clothes. When I was sick, you visited me and cared for me. When I was in prison, you came to me. What Jesus is saying is, you took all the gifts that God gave you and you employed them to help those who were in need. You took the food that God gave you and you saw it as a blessing from God to be shared with others and you fed the hungry. You took the water that God gave you and saw it as a blessing and used it to give to the thirsty. You saw the stranger and you welcomed him into your home. Why? Because your home belongs to God, not just to you. You have a whole closet full of clothes, and so you were like, I got a bunch of clothes. Let me give you some clothes, because, brother, you need some clothes. You're naked. And that when I was in prison, you came and visited me. Why? Because Jesus said that he came to set the captives free. Don't read that about just being prison like a building. That was prison like eternal prison.
Yes.
And so when Jesus comes to teach this last part here, he comes to actually offer application for the parable of the talents. To say, this is what it looks like. Go feed the hungry. Go give water to the thirsty. Give clothes to the people without clothes. Welcome them into your home, because your home belongs not just to you, but to God. If there are people who are sick, don't sit across the room and just thank God that you're not sick. Go and tend to them, and go to those who are in captivity. And as you give glory for all that you have, they will see your Father in heaven also.
Jason, I wonder, in verse 21 and 23, they both say the same things. Come and share your master's happiness. That's the NIV rendering. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, those things you just mentioned that we can tangibly do, might that be bringing God happiness in a sense that we can come and share with the master's happiness? He's probably pleased when we do those things.
Let me ask you a question. What would bring you more joy or happiness? You go in your home all alone, you open up a refrigerator, you look in there and you go, look at all the food I got. And then you close it and you go sit down in your easy chair. Or you walk into your kitchen with a whole gaggle of friends and you open your fridge and you go, look at all the food I got. Who's hungry? And you all get around the table with all those leftovers or whatever's in the fridge and you just start eating and telling stories and laughing. I think that that's the answer. I think that when we live like that generously, I think that there's a joy that comes with that that doesn't when we kind of just celebrate that alone.
And I'm thinking, if you're the dad and you're seeing your son extend that hospitality to his friends, that would please you and bring you happiness. And I think maybe God's even teaching us here that we can bring him happiness as we serve others.
Yep, as we serve and steward the things that he's given us well. You bet.
This was a rendering, some teaching, some understanding out of Matthew chapter 25. Maybe before you go to church this Sunday, it would be a good book to read and learn and apply into your life, because God has given us all talents, all different gifts, all different places where we can go and steward his resources. Maybe it's just time that you spend with somebody, patting them on the back, giving them a gift card, just spending time listening to their stories, praying over them. There's so many ways you can steward what God has given you, and you're unique, and you've been given unique and special gifts. So serve others with them. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and a room of friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.